Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Praise the Lord, saints. I bring you greetings this morning. Bring your greetings in the upper venue. Bring your greetings to those who are watching by podcast. I want to say that we are going to be starting a new series today called Outpouring. Outpouring is the word that God gave us at the beginning of the year. Thank you. Outpouring is the word that God gave us at the beginning of the year to really start the year. And we have done the most amount of sermons so far on this subject matter. There will be 12 by the end of the year. And here's the scripture, Isaiah 55, I believe verse 9. It says, "So shall my word be that goes forth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that where I send it, and it shall prosper wheresoever it goes." And the series really emphasizes you getting a word. Everything God has for you is about getting the word, and God is always speaking the word, and he never stops. Everything he does is initiated by a word, and it's constantly coming out of his mouth. And if something's important, you write it down. The next thing is write it down. And the Bible says, "My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." So power of life and death is in the tongue. And once you get a word from God, you need to constantly be repeating it over and over and over and over and over and over again. This is how you initiate an outpouring in your life. And then you need to wait on that word. Just because God told you you were going to be a millionaire or you were going to get a promotion doesn't mean you need to go to the bank and demand a million or go to your boss and demand a promotion. You got to wait on it. And you have to do the work while you're waiting. And you have to watch. The Bible says that the enemy comes to steal the word that is sown immediately. So you need to get a word. You need to write the word. You need to wait on the word. And then you need to watch over the word. And that's what initiates an outpouring. And as we start our giving series over the next several weeks, we want you to know that God is trying to get something to you, not from you. And this is what you're going to hear today. The speaker today is world class. He's been a leader of several churches. He leads our Every Nation movement as the executive director. He is a father, a grandfather, a husband of one wife. Praise God. Praise God. He is an elder of this church. He is a friend. And he is probably has one of the most powerful messages on the subject matter that we can hear. Would you put your hands together and welcome to the stage, Pastor Kevin York.
It's a great privilege to be here this morning. At my home church, because I have to travel a lot, I rarely get to be here, but it is such a great privilege to be here. And Pastor James approached me and said, when are you going to be in town? I want you to speak. And so I looked at my calendar. It was this Sunday. And so it was on finances. And I want to tell you that I get caught like that a lot, where it's not people asking me, but it just seems to be the serendipitous calendar syncing with that subject. And I know when we were over at Bethel Franklin and Pastor Steve and I would do our annual sermon series, we would do them and put them on a calendar, and then we would ramp in our schedules to determine who's going to speak on what. And almost every time it came to finances, I was there three of the four Sundays. So I spoke three of the four times, and he was not there. And you know, I figured this out. I think it was because Jesus knew that Kevin York needed that and needed to be reminded of that over and over and over again. And so I'm not trying to be humble. I'm actually trying to be factual. In my life, this was one of the big issues. And so when we kick off this series on overflow and finance, I think it's very apropos to open our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6. There were thousands of people sitting down and listening to Jesus preach arguably one of the greatest sermons or oratories to ever grace the lips of a human being, and that was the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6 records words that were captured about money. And Jesus is very profound in what he said. And today we're going to talk about two treasures, two eyes, and two masters. He uses this play on words to create a very profound perspective on finance and wealth and the two ways to use that. So if you would look there in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin with verse 19. And you can either follow me with your Bible, your phone Bible, or up on the screen. The Bible says this, Matthew 6:19, do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth. Imagine Jesus in this crowd of mostly poor people, some middle class, and very few rich people, but there were a few. Probably looked a lot like our church here, just a mixture of people. And it's interesting that he chooses this as one of his subjects. He says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. I was just like everybody else. Jesus presents in this sermon two ways to manage your finances with two separate horizons in mind when you manage your wealth. There's the common way. How many of you are common? How many of you were born and are alive? There's the human way, and he presents that as the first way and a way to manage your financial wealth. That is with earth as your horizon. And he says this. He says, don't lay up for yourselves, which is the idea of this, the way that you strategically organize handling of your assets. It's the work you do. It's the way you look at how you spend your money. And he says the human way, the common way, the normal way is with the earth as your horizon. All of us began life like that. We all came out, and the way we did our money is we had the earth in mind. How many of you, without Jesus Christ, you were doing your finances with heaven in mind? No, none of us were. I certainly wasn't. I was very common. And so the common way, the way that everybody does their money, is with earth in mind, with the things that are here on this planet in mind. And Jesus talked about that. He said that's one way of laying up your wealth, of treasuring your treasure, is with earth in mind. That's the human way. But Jesus Christ came to create a new humanity. And in that new humanity, he said there's another way that you treasure and lay up your treasures, and that's with eternity in mind. And that is a radically different way of laying up your treasure. You see, I, in my former life before Christ, took all my money and all my wealth with earth in mind, and I spent my money that way, and I was pretty conservative, so I wasn't very much in debt. But that's the way that I spent my money. I used a certain kind of an earthly calculator to calculate what I could afford and what I couldn't afford. But when Jesus got a hold of me and heaven became part of my perspective, the calculations changed. With eternity in mind, your calculations always change. I'll give you an example. When we would go buy a house and when we moved here, the realtor was a great friend and they did the math and we don't have debt, so they were really happy. I mean, happy, really happy. This means more house. And so we sat down to calculate and, oh, I'll take you to the neighborhood. The moment we entered the neighborhood, I knew that she was using an earthly calculator. It's not her job to use a heavenly calculator. And so she said, this is your house. I said, no, we're hundreds of thousands off. I've already picked the house. I want you to take me to this neighborhood. So she drove me over and I said, this is the house. We want this house built and it's hundreds of thousands less. The reason was not because I'm humble. The reason is not because I think a bigger house would be a better house. The reason is because I'm using a heavenly calculator now. The bank doesn't own one of those. I'm laying up my treasure in heaven. If you have heaven and eternity as a perspective, you understand that the way you arrange your money is no longer with earth on the horizon. You have an eternal view of the way you order your finances. And I told this lady, I said, I don't want to afford that house because I have a heavenly view of my life. And that calculator says, no, because I want to be generous. And common greed is what we are all born into. It's very common. It's very ordinary. It's very much earthly. It's a common greed. But it's greed nonetheless. Because it's kingdom-less living. And Jesus, during this sermon, was juxtaposing a life on this earth without him and the new humanity. He was putting those up side by side and saying there's two ways to live. You can treasure your treasure with earth in mind, or you can treasure your treasure with heaven in mind. And how is it that you want to order your life? And so me, it wasn't so much the house. My lust is cars. I would never leave my wife for another woman of 36 years. When you see her, she's drop-dead gorgeous. An amazing woman. But I might for a car. I've always had... We were walking in downtown London in the Trafalgar Square area, and we walked by this Maserati, and it was a two-seater. And it was... curvy, and it was blue with brown leather interior, and she knew there was an issue going on. An issue. Now see, apart from Jesus, I would use a different calculator when I bought a car. Fact, I like cars that end in E, Maserati, Bugatti, and all the E's. But my other calculator, because of my income, has always been a Yukon, Nissan, Scion. It's always been the aunts. And so now if you order your life this way, see, and Jesus knows me. He knows me. If you will know if I'm losing my walk with Jesus, because that's the first thing that will go. The first thing. The first thing that will go is the way I calculate how I order my financial world. Be the first. And you see, Jesus knows that. So what he did is I always buy our Nissans from the Cool Spring Nissan dealer. So Jesus, just to help me, put Maserati, Rolls Royce, and Bentley in the circle. You cannot get to Nissan without driving by the silver cloud. It's horrible. can you get to Nissan? So I'm looking at those going, yeah, I'll take one of those. Because it really doesn't matter. I mean, you know, it really doesn't. If you can't love the one you're with, honey, just go buy a different one. Now, you see, the reason that is critical is because if you don't understand the two kingdoms, you don't understand that if you buy into ordering your finances in an earthly way, that is not the kind of humanity that Jesus wants. He wants a new humanity. A humanity that orders their wealth in light of eternity. That's why common greed has no address. It's not behind the gates nor in the Bowery. It's in neither one. Because common generosity and common greed exists in every zip code, all over the world. I was approached by a friend of mine who's from another part of the world. He goes, "You Americans, you're so materialistic." I said, "Duh." And so are you. And I pointed it all out. And I said, "Listen, lest you think materialism exists in a nation, you're wrong." You see, Christians are to exhibit a new humanity, a humanity with dignity. A dignified humanity. A humanity with dignity is not one that is trapped by the short-term thinking of ordering your money based on earth as a horizon. It's based on generosity. Why would I ever want to order my money where I can't be generous, even spontaneously generous? And that's with a different view in mind. When he talks about storing up treasures in heaven, what he's talking about is you have an eternal view, and every dime you spend is storing up stuff in heaven. And so he talks about two treasures. One with earth on the horizon, one with heaven on the horizon. Then he talks about two eyes. Bring the scripture up. Everybody say two eyes. He says this, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? He's talking about the deception of living in common greed, non-extraordinary, unidentifiable common greed. You would never call a person with common greed greedy. Never. Because it's common. It's not ostentatious, it's not anything, it's just common. Because common greed has earth as its horizon. Now, when that happens, the Bible says this, that common greed becomes pervasive in the way you see life. And if you are generous, you have a good eye. You view life radically different than if you have common greed pervasive. It changes the way you think. You never see an opportunity to be generous. You never do. There's always something else you need, something else you must have, some other place to be, some other promotion. There's never a right situation. Well, you know, I'm not going to give to them because they're just lazy. I'm not going to give to them because there's just never a reason, because your soul is full of darkness. But the horror is this, you think it's light. The bad eye means the stingy eye. That's what it means. And it's when you walk around in your life and you haven't ordered your money with kingdom, with eternity. And so you're bound by debt, you're bound by stuff, your eye, it emits a different way of seeing. But when you order your finance with eternity in mind, you have a good eye. Yes. And man, you talk about dignity being restored to humans. Find a community with good eyes. Find a community that's constantly looking to give, constantly searching out how I can make the change, even if I don't get to report it on my income tax. Not only do you give your 10% and give, but you're walking around, you're constantly with your good eye looking. Because your whole life is ordered around eternity. And nothing, the stuff of this, even though it's nice now, you order your life like this, this is wealth without sorrow. Because this kind of wealth doesn't get in your way from being generous. I love my house. I enjoy my house. My wife will tell you when I land, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stand in my house and enjoy it. But when that house gets in my way, from being generous, I no longer enjoy that. If my car gets in the way of me, we had a couple toys, some horses. You want to spend a lot of money, you buy horses. Now, I know many of you have them, and you probably have, but it was a large sucking sound. That was money leaving the bank. Now, could we afford it and still give? Yes, but it was one of those things I thought, I don't want this. I want to be freer than this. Does that make sense? I want to be freer. I want to be able to walk around with a good eye. And when your life is not ordered that way, stuff gets in the way. When you order your life this way and you see the dignity to it, you understand why Jesus looked at the widow dropping everything she had in there. And you see, he saw the dignity of humanity. He didn't stop her. He didn't get in the way. He thought, that's what I designed humans to be. And the fall fractured it. But that is dignity. You see, we count the offering. He weighs it. He weighs what you give. He weighs it in light of who you are. When he said it's more blessed to give than receive, if you're on this side and you order your life with the earth, you scratch your head. If you see a woman break an alabaster box and pour thousands of dollars, you scratch your head. When you see Jesus not getting in front of the woman that dropped her mites there, you get in front of that. But when you order your life with kingdom in mind, with eternity in mind, it changes the way you view everything. And you view it in the light of Christ. And then when you meet someone in need, you don't think of calling some place where generous people give to help. You think, maybe it's me. And I'm free to help. You see, there's two treasures and two horizons. And Jesus said, new humanity, kingdom humanity, one horizon is earth, one is heaven. There's two eyes that you have. When eternity becomes your horizon, it transforms everything perception-wise. Everything. You view everything in a kingdom way. And that's light to the world. It's light to the world. And the last thing he talks about are two bosses. Two bosses. Bring the scripture up. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and he'll despise the other. You cannot serve God and the money god. That's this idea of mammon as a money god. Now, what he's not saying, or wait... Let me say it this way. The The word he's using for serve is literally, you are owned as though you are a slave. That is the word that is used there. Now it's never been hard to serve two masters. It's never been hard. Never been hard. Never been difficult to serve two masters. No, Jesus says it's impossible to serve two masters. Not difficult. He says it's impossible. And so, in my life, I was trapped by common greed and called Jesus Lord. But when I followed the money, my treasure led to my heart, and my heart was focused on this earth, and therefore I served the money God. And this came to me in the marketplace at Texaco reading my Bible many, many years ago. And so I want to talk to you and end this way on how to get free. Because I got free. And it's amazing. To get freedom, first of all, the most important thing is Jesus has to be Lord of your life, and you shout and ask him to give you the eternity as horizon. Once you've got eternity as horizon, and how you find out where you're at is you follow the money. You get in your checkbook, you look around. Are you generous? Do you walk around with a good eye or a bad eye? That dictates, that shows you, that helps you. But then when you find out, the great news is this. In fact, I had guilt and shame grip me. Guilt is a fact, and shame is a feeling that rises out of that fact. When you ask Jesus to forgive you, he takes away the guilt. When you repent, the guilt goes and the shame goes. And so I used to ignore the guilt, thinking I'm not supposed to feel any guilt, and then the shame would grip me. And no, I was guilty of serving the wrong kind of God. But thank God, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he began to slip the kingdom mindset inside of me. Now, sometimes when you get an eternity mindset and you're gripped and you repent from that, it's harder to get your money there. How many of you realize that? Jesus is faithful to turn the heart, but now you have debt. Now you have a whole life that has been ordered for decades on this horizon. Do these things. Be faithful. Be faithful. Engage it. Remember, he does not want you to give mindlessly. He says, do not be compelled in giving, but with serious, sober thought, consider what you're giving. The reason is he wants you to lay up for yourselves. He wants you to reason through the whole thing so that you can build this new kind of a view and perspective for the way that you do with money, the way you deal with money. And so just ask him, say, Jesus, I need the kingdom as a horizon to take that as a perspective for the way I arrange all of my money. Secondly, I owe people money. I'm not going to back out on that. I'm going to aggressively go after that. I'm going to begin to reduce my debt. I'm going to sell toys that suck stuff out and all that thing. I'm going to get those things out of the way. I'm going to reorder my life. And you know what? You're going to pop out someday with a whole different life, radically different life. And you will walk around and you will be a blessing everywhere you go, because you would have changed and eternity would have been in front of you when you order your money. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for, first of all, your compassion and your grace and your brilliance. You created everything. And none of your creation was made to worship. Only you. And Jesus, I pray for every person here that knows they're guilty. They're guilty of ordering their world with just the earth in mind. And Jesus, so were every one of us. So Jesus, by your great grace and mercy this morning, would you give them hope and faith and a confidence as they come before you. You can reorder their passions, that over time it can change. And Jesus, I pray for every person that engages to change the way they order their money, that you would be their security and not their money, that you would be their God and not their money. And they would have integrity in the way they reordered their life. And Jesus, we do this all to your glory and to your praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Church, let's give God praise. Come on, church. He's dealing with us. Oh, he's dealing with us. Let's give him praise and glory. Stand to your feet and give him glory.